طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our 45th session reading from lessons Arabic language lessons in fiqh from Al-Mustawa Thalith, yani the third level, Islamic University of Medina Arabic Language Institute. And today we're going to finish. This is going to be the last topic that we're going to take from Kitab al-Zakat. And in the following week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to do the questions at the end of this chapter. And then we're going to go to Kitab al-Siyam. And we are nearing the end of this book, yani, with Kitab al-Siyam and Kitab al-Hajj will be the end of it. This is the end of Kitab al-Zakat. And this topic is a somewhat relatively brief topic, which... indeed is of great importance at the end of the study of the various any types of wealth that are subject to zakat and other rules and regulations concerning that, and some of the discussions that we had concerning the areas where there's some difference of opinion. What we want to look at today is the masarif is zakat, yani the channels through which the zakat of whatever type it is to be distributed. How should it be distributed? Okay, so we're going to look first in our textbook, the Arabic Lessons in Fiqh for Level 3, Medina University Islamic Institute, Arabic Language Institute. We're going to look at first what they have written there, which is relatively brief, and then we're going to look at some notes from some of our secondary sources that we have been referring to. I have given you in the homework assignment, I've given you some references for a number of books. We're not going to be able to read from all of them because it's quite lengthy. But you may find some benefit in the book Al-Wajiz fi Fiqh al-Sunnah wal-Kitab al-Aziz, pages 224 to 229. Particularly, if you want to see some of the hadith, some of the narrations of hadith that are related to the various categories of the people who are entitled to receive zakat, what they have listed in this reference here, they have listed the hadith for every category of the 8 categories. They've listed the hadith that are mentioned in reference to each of those categories. We're not going to be able to read that today, but you should go back and look at that source for the hadith concerning this. The second reference that we have is Bulugh Maram with the Ta'liq of Sheikh Safi Rahman, rahimahullah, pages 189 to 191. And what he has given, usually, yani when we normally read from there, is for the benefit of his commentary on the hadith that are related to this particular topic, and particularly some of the grammatical points that he may mention. But again, because of the time, we're probably not going to be able to look at much of it. But in any case, you can go back to that reference, page 189 to 191, or a hadith related to the 8 categories, or the related to who the zakat is to be distributed to. Also, from our secondary sources that we normally refer to as Fiqh al-Ibadat by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, and the pages that are relevant are pages 226 to page 235. Page 226 to 235. And the Shaykh, rahimahullah, brings a lot of good points, yani in detailed explanation of the 8 categories of the people entitled to receive zakat. And we're going to read just a couple of points from the areas that he has discussed. We're going to read a couple of points from there. And then Shaykh al-Albani in the Ikhtiyarat of Shaykh al-Albani, pages 210 to 212. Yani, there are a couple of fatawa that he has given related to this particular topic, but probably we're not going to be able to read any of that. And then finally, the last reference that we haven't been reading from recently, but reference that we have read from in the past, is Mulakhas al-Fiqhi by Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, pages 244 to 252. And we're going to try to read his comments because they were the briefest of the comments, and yani the easiest for us to benefit from in the short amount of time that we have today. So we're going to use that as a reference today for the most part, and we may read a couple of other points from some of the other secondary references that we have. First, we're going to read from the textbook what they have written, and then we're going to go to Sheikh Salih Fawzan's comments, and we may look at some other couple of points from some of the other secondary references that we have here a little bit, according to how much time we have. Now, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tayyib, khair, inshallah. Okay, so we're reading on page 63 from Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, level 3 of the Arabic Language Institute program. Khamisan masarif al-zakat, yani the fifth topic and the last topic of the book of zakat are the masarif, yani the channels through which the zakat is to be distributed. Yani who is entitled to receive this zakat? How is it to be used? And they start off by saying masarif is zakat. حددها الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم في قوله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين والعاملين عليها والمؤلفة قلوبهم وفي الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل فريضة من الله والله عليم حكيم. سورة التوبة 9th Surah 60th Ayat. Okay, this is the foundation of this particular topic. The ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually defines, He specifies what are the channels that should be, yani that the zakat should be distributed through. Yani He mentions 8 categories, and these are the channels through which zakat should be distributed. These channels and only these channels, and not for any other noble, praiseworthy, virtuous, yani good that we might think of. The channels through which zakat is to be distributed, Allah Himself, haddadaha. Allah Himself has specified them. He is the one who has defined and specified in His noble book, in His saying, that indeed, verily, only the sadaqat should only be given to the fuqara wal masakin, the poor and the needy, wal amilina alayha, and those who are charged with the collection and distribution of it, the people who work in the area of collection and distribution of the zakat, وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ, and those who it is intended, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَتَعْرِكَاتُمْ, who is it intended to attract them, to yani attract them, to affect them, to affect, to reach their hearts, to get them to come to Islam if they are not Muslims, or to strengthen their iman if they have already entered into Islam. وَفِي الرِّقَابِ, and in the freeing of slaves or captives, as we will see in the discussion concerning this, وَالْغَارِمِينَ, and those who are in debt. غَارِمِينَ, those who are in debt. وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and those who are yani out in the way of Allah. Yani meaning? Yani the obvious apparent meaning, the ظاهر of this expression, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, is the people who are fighting in the way of Allah in jihad. And there are some opinions of some of the scholars that also apply to this expression some other meanings in this particular ayat, but in any case, what is apparent and what is obvious, it means the people who are yani who are not receiving a salary from the government as a part of a standing army, but rather they have volunteered to go out in the way of Allah, then they may be given from zakat. Otherwise, if they are part of the standing army, then they are already taken care of. But Ibn al-Sabil means the one who is Ibn al-Sabil means the one who is what? Wayfarer, or whatever, how, yani wayfarer, we mean by that what? Traveler, every traveler? Yani means the person, yeah, wayfarer, traveler, the person who is, yani outside of their homeland, traveling, they are stranded, they don't have any means to continue their journey or to return to their home, these people may be given from zakat. And then the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closed the ayah by saying, فَرِيضَةً مِنَ اللَّهِ Allahu Alimun Hakim. This is very important. Allah has made it obligatory. The zakat is obligatory, and the distribution of the zakat in this manner, Allah has made obligatory in this manner. And as Shaykh Al-Faymin rahimahullah said, yani the mention of the names of Allah, Alim and Hakim, is a proof and an indication and a reminder to us that this legislation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based upon what? Knowledge and wisdom, yani ilm and hikmah. Yani the knowledge, Allah's perfect knowledge and His perfect yani wisdom. Okay, after this, yani, and by the way, whoever didn't memorize Surah At-Tawbah, it is incumbent upon you to memorize this ayat. This is from the ayat of Ahkam, that's incumbent that it be memorized. It's a necessity that we have to memorize this kind of ayat, because this is something that's going to be a foundation. Yani it's a foundation that we are in need of, and it is important that we memorize it. And not just give, it's the 60th ayat of the 9th surah. Not just that we give the general meaning of, but it should be memorized. So, yani, if you haven't memorized Surah At-Tawbah, then part of your homework, you have to memorize this ayat. طيب, والأصناف الثمانية واضحة مفصلة في الآية الكريمة. يعني the 8 categories are clear and they are detailed in this noble ayat. فَهُمْ, so they are, number one, الْفُقَرَى. Yani, the categories of the people or the ways in which zakat may be distributed are crystal clear in this ayat and detailed, not requiring any further yani classification. These are the classifications, and what we want to do today is we want to look at what is intended by these classifications, what does it include and what does it exclude. So the first category, number one, is al-fuqara. Yani al-fuqara is the plural of jam faqir. وَهُوَ الَّذِي لَا مَالَ لَهُ. Yani this is a general meaning of what is meant by faqir, the person who doesn't have any wealth. Person who doesn't have any wealth. Now of course we'll see in the details of this that there may be some further explanation, but this is the general meaning of faqir, person who doesn't have wealth. والمساكين, number two, المساكين, and مساكين is the gem of مسكين. وَهُوَ الَّذِي لَهُ مَالٌ وَلَكِنَّهُ لا يكفيه. يعني the miskeen is what? The one who has wealth. له مال ولكنه لا يكفيه. But it's not enough for him. He has some wealth, but it's not sufficient to take care of the necessities of life. Okay, so in general, an easy يعني distinction between the fuqara and the masakeen, according to this definition, the difference between them is that one of them has no wealth and the other one has some wealth, but not sufficient to take care of their needs or necessities. The third one, al-amiluna alayha. Yani alayha meaning what? Ala al-zakat. Yani this is those people. Yani al-amiluna alayha, ay ummal al-zakat. Yani the workers, the people who are employed to collect and distribute the zakat. يَأْخُذُونَ مِنْهَا. Yani they are entitled to take something, to be given something from the zakat. وَلَوْ كَانُوا أَغْنِيَا. Even if they were rich people. Yani if they are employed in this work of collecting and distributing the zakat, they are entitled to give something from the zakat. فَيَأْخُذُونَ مِنْهَا أَجْرًا عَلَى عَمَلِهِمْ فِيهَا. So they are taking some compensation for the work that they do concerning the zakat. The hadith that is mentioned here concerning the third category, this is based upon the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, لا تحل الصدقة لغني إلا لخمسة. لا تحل الصدقة لغني إلا لخمسة. Meaning? Naam. The sadaqa, yani the zakat, because we're talking about zakat, obligatory charity, is not lawful. It's not permissible for the rich. It's not permissible for a rich person, but there are some exceptions. Yani except five. Al-amilu alayha, the first of them is what? The one who is employed to work in this department, yani in this institution of collecting and distributing the zakat. They're entitled to receive some compensation. If they're not receiving a salary from the government, as far as nowadays, of course, in the Muslim countries, if there are employees of the government who are collecting or distributing the zakat, they are receiving a salary. So the person who's receiving a salary is not entitled to receive anything from zakat. But this is in reference to those people who are not receiving a salary, then they may be given some compensation according to the work that they do for what they have done from the zakat itself. Okay, so the rich person is not allowed to receive from zakat except five cases, those people who are employed to work in the institution of zakat. الرجلٌ اشتراها بماله, meaning the man who purchased it with his wealth, meaning he purchased something from the zakat with his own money. He bought something. It could be he bought some animals, or he bought some crops, or he bought something that's from the zakat. He's not entitled to receive zakat free, like a poor person. They're given from the zakat, right? he can buy from the zakat. If he bought it, then it's okay. He paid for it. Okay, but he's not entitled to receive it. Like the categories of people who are entitled to receive zakat, they're given from the zakat, right? They're given from the zakat. He's not given, but he may purchase it. Al gharim, or the gharim is the what? The person who is in debt, and they're not able to pay their debt. They may be given from zakat to help them to get out of debt. Al ghazin fi sabilillah, or the person who is, yani, going out fighting in the way of Allah, if they're not a part of a standing, yani, army that is salaried. They may also be given from the zakat to help them, yani, to go out in the way of Allah. Aw miskin tusaddiq alayhi minha fa'ahda minha lighaniyin. Or the fifth category of the rich person who's entitled to receive zakat, yani, not directly receive zakat, but a poor person, a miskin, was given from the sadaqah, from the zakat, and then that poor person gave a gift to a rich man. He gave him something from the zakat that was given to him. And it's not likely to happen, but I guess it could. It should be the other way, right? The rich person giving the poor person. But it's possible, for whatever reason. In the bottom line is what? If a poor person is entitled to receive zakat, what they receive from zakat is their property. Once they received it, they can do as they like with it, even if they want to give something from it to a rich person. It's permissible to do so. This hadith is reported by Imam Ahmed in his Musnad, Abu Dawud in the Sunan, and Ibn Majah in the Sunan, Hakim in Al-Hakim Mustadrak, وَقَالَ يعني الحاكم وَقَالَ صَحِيحٌ عَلَى شَرْطِ الشَّيْخَيْنِ. Meaning that it is authentic according to the conditions of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. According to the conditions of Bukhari and Muslim. And again, yani, in the Naam. Ishtaraha, yani, ishtara is zakat. He purchased something of that was, yani, part of zakat. He purchased it with his money, with his own money. He bought it. He didn't take from zakat, but he bought it. Then he's entitled to it, right? He paid for it.
So he's entitled to what he paid for.
Right? He's entitled to what he paid for. No. He's not entitled to zakat. No. Yani, these are categories of rich people. All of them. None of them are entitled to take zakat. None of them are entitled to be given zakat. But they may get it through some other way. Okay, they might get it because they are employed. They are working in the institution of zakat. They're working without a salary from the government to collect and distribute. So for their work, it's permissible to give them compensation from the zakat itself that has been collected. Okay, otherwise, that person is not from the people, they're not from the categories of people entitled to zakat, then they can't be given zakat. But these people, yani, may be given zakat because of some other reason, secondarily, not, yani, primarily. Now,
how is it a sadaqah for him? Because it's purchasing something from his zakat.
It's not a sadaqah for him, but it is. It's from the zakat. It came from zakat. Okay, it was something that was collected as zakat. It can't be given to him directly, but he could purchase it.
Also, the other category, they're saying that the poor person giving to the rich, it may seem to not make sense, but maybe it's like paying his debt from...
Whatever, it could be for different reasons, that he could be, the poor person might be given... They said he gave it to him as a gift, though.
No. As a gift.
But in any case, whatever the point is, that the poor person, once they receive the zakat, rightfully so, they have a right to it, they received it legally, it became their property. And if they gave it to a rich person as a gift or whatever, then it's permissible for them to do so. Naam? Ibn Sabil?
Ibn Sabil he's rich.
Naam? Ibn Sabil, who's rich, in his country. But in his travel, he finished his money, or he lost his money, he ran out of money, whatever. Even though he has money in his country, but at this point that he's stranded without any means, it's permissible to give him from zakat. Yes.
In what category from this five?
No, Ibn Sabil is from the original categories of people who can be given zakat. Original. This hadith is talking about. Naam?
Huwa ghani.
Huwa ghani, naam.
Ghani fi balad.
Fi balad, naam.
Walakin ma ya'tabar min al-fakr. Sa'al ayyadhul fi al-fuqara.
I'm not exactly certain that I understand the question, but let me just see if unless somebody can help me, I'll just try to clarify the issue.
No. He's rich in his country.
He's rich in his country. Tayyib. No. That يُعطى الزكاة هو غني. وهو
غني يعطى الزكاة. لا يشترط
الفقر في ابن السبيل. يشترط أن لا يكون عنده زادا يرجع به إلى بلده.
نعم. واضح؟ ها؟
ولكن أنا.
Yeah, I'm understanding what you're saying, but I'm not understanding the point that you were trying to reach here.
مش قلنا في الحديث خمسة نفر وهم أغنياء. يعطوا الزكاة.
Okay. Oh. Okay. I got it. نعم. Okay. It's clear. Okay. نعم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. كيف حالكم يا علي؟ بارك الله فيكم. I'm strapped down over here. Come over here. Come give me salams, brother. I didn't see this brother in a long time. Some years, mashallah. Barakallah feekum. How are you doing, Akhi?
Good,
man. Mashallah. Barakallah feekum. How's everything, man?
It's good, man.
Mashallah.
How's the boy?
Good, good. Everybody's fine, mashallah.
Barakallah.
Yeah, I don't mind. I have no objection. It's just that I can't travel. I don't have anything now. I don't have anything here. Right. Leave an address. I'll send it to you, inshallah. Right. Leave an address. Naam, so what did we come to? What conclusion we reach? Where are we at?
You say you got the employer.
No, no, I think the brother was discussing with him.
We were discussing about something else.
Oh. Okay, so are you... You just want to make a statement of clarification, or are you asking a question? Okay, let's look at the hadith, and then I think it will be clear. Okay, maybe, perhaps, I may have lost focus a little bit, but I think I get what you're saying now. Okay, the third category is, the third category is what those people who are working in the institution of zakat, if they are not receiving a salary, they are entitled to receive compensation from the zakat. A proof that they are entitled to receive is here there's a hadith mentioned. That hadith mentions five people. The one that we're concerned about here is the one who's working in the institution of zakat. But it does mention other people, and I think the point that he's making now is that from amongst the other people that they mention here, he's saying that the rich person rich people are not entitled to receive sadaqah, except there are five, and one of them is the category we're talking about, the person who's working in the institution. Another is the rich person who bought the zakat with his wealth. Another one is the gharim, the person who is in debt. We can help him with his debt. The ghazin, fi sabilillah, the person who went out in the way of Allah. And the rich person who was given some zakat from a poor person who received it rightfully, say. So, that's a hadith that's mentioned in five people. He's bringing to us another person here now. That's not mentioned in this hadith, Ibn Sabil. So what I'm saying is here, that the Ibn Sabil is a category from the original. These five people here are people who are not originally entitled to receive zakat. But Ibn Sabil is entitled to receive zakat, even though they're a rich person. Yani even though in their land they're a rich person, That's a category from the eight categories of zakat. These people are not from the eight categories of zakat, but they might receive from zakat indirectly for some other reason. As far as Ibn Sabil, their category is mentioned in the Quran by Allah specifically from the eight categories. Okay, not as receiving it indirectly through some other reason, but rather this is a category from the eight categories. Okay, the person who buys the zakat from with their own wealth. That's not from the categories of people who receive zakat. That's not from the categories. Okay? That's not from those categories. But the Ibn Sabil is actually from the categories of the people who are entitled to receive zakat. Even though they might be rich in their country. Any person who is stranded in another land, traveling, going somewhere or returning to their land, if they don't have the means to get to where they are going or to return to their land, then they should be given that which is sufficient for their trip. Yani to get to where they're going and to get back. Or to get back to wherever they were returning to. Okay? As a separate, this is a separate category in and of itself, yani Ibn al-Sabil. And we're going to talk about that in detail, inshallah. Perhaps, yani today or next week. Allahu a'lam. Now.
These days, so maybe the transaction of the money, if the person is rich somewhere else, maybe they can use that money for
now.
Back in the day, it was something probably doable, but now.
So, like if a person is traveling today and they run out of money, then they can just use their card, right? Or whatever, I don't know, stuff that you have to get money with. You can just use it and get some money, right? So that person is not entitled to zakat because they are not really in need. This is a situation where people are actually in need. Yani they can't make it to where they're going or get back to where they came from. So because of the necessity of the situation, they are entitled to receive zakat. As soon as that situation, that necessity is alleviated, then they are no longer entitled to zakat. They are no longer entitled to zakat. Even if they were given zakat, and then their own money came to them, they have to give back what they didn't use. Because the reason that entitles them to the zakat is eliminated, therefore they're not entitled to it anymore.
They could have lost their money, or gotten robbed.
They could have gotten robbed, whatever. The point is that if they don't have any money, and they don't have access to money, they don't have a card, they don't have whatever that modern means today, and they're really stranded, then they can be given from zakat to help them to get to where they're going. Naam. Taib. Okay, fourth category. The fourth category is مُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبِهِمْ الْمُؤَلَّفَةُ قُلُوبُهُمْ أي الَّذِينَ يُؤْتَوْنَ الْمَالَ لِيُسْلِمُوا أَوْ لِيَحْسُنَ إِسْلَامُهُمْ وَيُثْبِتُوا عليه أو ليكفوا أذاهم عن المسلمين والله أعلم. يعني there are a number of different characteristics or descriptions that are given here under the fourth category of those people who zakat may be given in order to incline their heart towards Islam. It might be that they are not Muslims, so they might be given some of the wealth from zakat liyuslimu, so that they will enter Islam. Or it might be that they have already entered Islam, but to help them to improve, to perfect their Islam, yani they might be given zakat liyahsuna islamuhum, so that they may do better, yani in their Islam. So that they may be a better Muslim, so that they may be stronger in their iman, to strengthen their iman, giving them some zakat to attract, to attach, to strengthen their tie to Islam, to make them stronger and firm upon Islam. لِيَحْسُنَا أَوْ لِيُثْبِتُوا. Okay, and that's not mentioned here. But that some of the scholars mentioned that it might be to help the person to enter Islam, or it might be to influence other people who might see that person who has been given this wealth, and there it may attract them to Islam as well. So that's also one of the purposes here. Here are four things I mentioned. Yani the person who enter Islam, or to improve their Islam, or to make them firm upon Islam, or لِيَقُفُّ أَذَاهُمْ عَنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, meaning the non-Muslims, so that to reduce their harm to the Muslims. Yani, meaning to influence them in a way that those people who might be in a... And of course, this is in a situation where the non-Muslims might have the upper hand over the Muslims. The Muslims might be weak, and the non-Muslims might be strong, so they might be given something in order to what? To reduce their harm to the Muslims. To reduce the harm from those people to the Muslims. Now,
is it from the manners of giving it to know that it's zakat internally and not label it outwardly? That's sort of like you're just giving a gift, you know yourself that it's zakat from you.
That the person that you give it to should know or not know that it's zakat? There's no doubt that we should consider the person who's being given the zakat, right? And generally speaking, especially if it's something that's done in public, then it could be uncomfortable for a person to be in front of people to be given and somebody said, this is zakat. So that should be considered. Meaning that if it's a person that you know generally receives zakat, you know that they're entitled to zakat, then there's no need to tell them this is zakat. There's no need to say that. But if it's a person that you don't know if they receive zakat, are they entitled to it, do they accept it or not, then they should be told. Because perhaps it might be a person who is not entitled to zakat, even though they may appear to be entitled to it, and you're giving them zakat without telling them, and they accept it as a gift, not knowing that this is zakat. While if you had told them, they would say, I'm not entitled to zakat. Perhaps. So in that case, a person should be told. So it depends on the situation. Yani, we shouldn't openly say, yani, this is zakat for you, in front of people. But if it's a person that you don't know if they're entitled to zakat, you have to be clear. You have to clarify that. Okay, so it depends on the situation. But, yani, of course, if you know the person is entitled to it, and that they accept zakat, then there's no need to say it. Yani, you know that it's zakat, it's sufficient just to give it to them. Allahu a'lam. Yani, giving zakat to a non-Muslim who might be inclined towards Islam or to incline them towards Islam is a special category, okay? This is a special category. Otherwise, outside of this category, then they should not be given zakat. But in this category, yes. And even in this category, there are different yani reasons why they might be given it. It might be that a person appears to be inclined towards Islam, and they might be given the zakat to help them yani to make that decision. Or a person yani might not necessarily be inclined towards Islam, but they might be in a position to cause harm to the Muslims. And by giving them zakat, this may reduce the harm to the Muslims, then that's permissible in that particular case. So it depends on the situation. But in general, no, zakat should not be given to non-Muslims. But this is a category, yani, mu'allafat kulub, yani it's permissible yani, that it be given in certain situations, and that is if there's a need for it to be done. Yani if there's a need, because when the Muslims were strong in the earth, after the Muslims had conquered the land, then they were not giving non-Muslims zakat. Yani Abu Bakr and Umar was not giving non-Muslims zakat. Because there was no need to give it to them then. The Muslims were strong and they were not yani in need of, they were not in fear of any harm coming from the other people. Wallahu a'lam. In any case, okay, this is fourth category. Fifth category, fi riqabi. Yani, A, fi fakki al-riqab. Wa itqi al-raqiq. Fa'innuhu yu'ta المكاتب أو مكاتب ليفك رقبته بأداء كتابته ويشتري العبيد ويعتقون. يعني that يعني the fifth category is in freeing of slaves. يعني the freeing of a slave. Meaning the person who al-mukatib, yani the person who has been yani an agreement has been made with their owner to free them from slavery in exchange for a payment of a certain amount of money, or outright yani buying a person yani from the person who owns them, buying them from slavery and then freeing them. Or it may also be yani, which is not mentioned here, yani it may also be yani a Muslim who's captive, yani who has been captive, yani captured, like in war or something like that, to also ransom them, yani from captivity. In any case, the main point here is that the fifth category is that zakat may be used to free a person who is in slavery, whether they are yani, whether their amount that yani is required by the owner is given to the owner in order to yani buy them so that you may free them, or that the person who has made an agreement with their owner to pay a certain amount of money to get out of yani that condition, that yani you give them the amount that they need in order to free them. so that they may fulfill the agreement that has been made, the written agreement, to pay their owner a certain amount of money to get them out of that condition. So either, yani, the person who has an agreement, you help them to pay off that agreement with their owner, or yani, that, or you buy the person, yani, from their master and free them, yani, with the intention of freeing them. And the details of this also, maybe some details we may read from some of the secondary sources. The sixth category is al-gharimuna, yani, the person is who is in debt. Like the person, man tahammala al-hamalatan, al-dhamina daynan, falazimahu al-gharima fi ada daynihi, أو في كفارة معصية تاب منها فهؤلاء يدفع إليهم من الزكاة ما يكفيهم. يعني the person who is in debt is, for example, the person who has taken upon himself تحمل حمالة أو ضمن دينا فلزمه. يعني the person who has taken the responsibility to pay some money that, yani, became his responsibility as a result of him, yani, not from his own debt for his personal self, but for example, yani, as the scholars say, yani, two people, two tribes, two, yani, nations, whatever, they had some dispute between the Muslims, and he reconciled between them. As a result of that, he, yani, there was a debt that was placed upon him to fulfill, to pay some money in order to effective, yani, to effectively reconcile between these people. He agreed to pay some money. So that debt became upon him not as a result of his own behavior, but as a result of him being a guarantee, yani, guarantee to give a certain amount of money, or he became the guarantee of somebody else's debt, and he agreed to pay it for them. So this debt became upon him. Yani, because of helping others, then this person may be given zakat. Even if they were a rich person, they may be given zakat to help them to fulfill that payment or that debt that they took upon themselves in order to help others. Or the person is in debt due to their own, yani, loan they borrowed from someone, or yani, somehow became in debt for themselves. Then something that they did, like kafara for ma'asiyah, yani, they have a kafara to pay, that they repented from. And no, he said, that they repented from it, meaning they committed some sin, that there is a kafara that they have to pay as a result of it, but they repented from it, they may be helped to pay whatever the payment is in order for them to fulfill the kafara that may be upon them. These are people that may be given whatever is sufficient from the zakat in order to get out of debt, whether it is, yani, something that they became upon them because of them helping others, or because of something that they have done, yani, by their own actions, yani, something that is a result of their own actions. In both cases, they may be given that which is sufficient to get them out of debt. The seventh category, fi sabilillah, al-anfaq ala al-jihad fi sabilillah. This is the obvious meaning of it, that a zakat may be given as spending for the jihad in the way of Allah. Yani, zakat may be given to equip the people who are fighting in the way of Allah, or whatever it is their needs, for them to go out in the way of Allah. Yani, spend the zakat may be used for spending upon this. And as I said, there are some scholars who have given some other categories that come under fi sabilillah. Perhaps what is obvious is that this expression refers to, yani, al-jihad fi sabilillah. And we'll look at, yani, some of the other interpretations that might be given, as some of the scholars have mentioned. From amongst those interpretations, in case we don't read it today, is the interpretation of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, who says, who believes that, yani, the person who is studying, seeking religious knowledge, sharia knowledge, and that serious seeking of knowledge would prevent them from earning a living to take care of their needs, then this person may be given from zakat for this purpose. And he has a lengthy discussion concerning this particular interpretation, And generally the scholars say that the obvious meaning of this is the person who goes out in jihad to finance the jihad. And then, like I said, there are some other interpretations that have been given. One of them is the student who is a full-time student seeking Sharia knowledge. If their seeking of knowledge would prevent them from earning a living, and they would not be able to seek knowledge properly if they were working on a regular job, then they may give him from zakat. Wallahu a'lam. The last category, category number 8, Ibn Sabil, وهو المسافر المجتاز في بلد ليس معه شيء يستعين به على سفره فيعطى من الصدقات ما يكفيه حتى يعود إلى بلده. يعني the traveler, the person who is traveling and they are stranded in a land, in a situation where that person doesn't have with them anything that they might be used to continue or to complete their journey, then they may be given from the sadaqat or the zakat that which, yani, will be sufficient for them to return to their land. Yani, to get to where they're going and return to their land, to complete their journey. Okay, these are the 8 categories that are mentioned here. And as I said, as far as the details of this, we're going to look at some of the details of it from what Sheikh Saleh Fawzan mentions, according to the time that we have, which we don't have a lot of time. So perhaps, yani, we might look at a little bit of what he said. Yarhamukallah. We might look at a little bit of what he said instead of the 8 categories that he mentioned, which we just read, and the details that he gave. Yani, some of the benefits that Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, some of what he mentioned in his book Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi, which we have been using as a secondary reference. From amongst the things that he mentions under the chapter, and this is on page 247, which starts on page 247 for about 10 pages, at least up into 252 and a little bit further. Babun fi bayan ahli zakat wa man la yujuz dafu al-zakat lahum. Yani, there are two things here that he's talking about. One is the clarification of the people, ahlul zakat, the people entitled to zakat. And the second, yani, those who it is not permissible to give to them from the zakat. So from amongst that which he says here, he quotes from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. He said that it is obligatory to direct, yani, the zakat to these 8 categories if they are present. If they are present. Yani, these 8 categories. Otherwise, if the 8 are not present, 8 categories, then any one of them which is present, the zakat may be given to them. And he even said it may be transferred to wherever they may be present. Yani, wherever the people who are entitled to receive it, if they are not present where you are, it may be transferred to wherever they are. Then he said, لا ينبغي أن يعطى منها إلا من. This is the point that I wanted to make here. لا ينبغي أن يعطى منها إلا من يستعين بها على طاعة الله. And this is something that, yani, we need to emphasize, that giving zakat to the people who are entitled to it doesn't just mean that they are poor and needy. Rather, we should also consider the people who are in need, who are worthy of receiving it. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, it is not befitting that the zakat be given to anyone except those who are going to use it in obedience to Allah. Yani, giving it to the person who's going to use it for disobedience to Allah is not permissible. لا ينبغي. It's not proper. It's not proper. It's not befitting that this be done. That you give it to people who are going to use it in disobedience to Allah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَهَا مَعُونَةً عَلَى طَاعَتِهِ. Allah made it obligatory to, in order to help people so that they may be obedient to Him. لِمَنْ يَحْتَجْ إِلَيْهَا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Yani, to help those amongst the believers who are in need so that they may be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يُعَاوِنُهُمْ. And also those who would help and support and, yani, aid the Muslims. وَمَنْ لَا يُصَلِّي مِنْ أَهْلِ الْحَاجَاتِ لَا يُعْتَى مِنْهَا. And the people who do not make salat, even though they are from the people who are in need, they should not be given from it. حَتَّى يَتُوبَ وَيَلْتَزِمْ بِأَدَاءِ السَّلَاتِ. Unless and until they repent, and then they adhere strictly to the performance of prayer. So this is the point I wanted to mention here, because of the yani emphasis here on looking not only to the people who are needy, but rather also looking to the factor of the people who are worthy, yani the people who are going to use the zakat in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not just people who yani are in need of zakat. And because we only have a few minutes remaining, I'm going to go yani to the end of what the Shaykh says here, Shaykh Salih Fawzan. Quickly, some points that he makes, yani other than the eight categories. Now,
so very quick, if you know that a person uses money to buy haram things like cigarettes, so in that case, you shouldn't give the zakat. Do you mean it's
He's saying la yambari, yani it's not yani proper. It's not befitting that they be given the zakat. Yani if you know that the person is going to use it to buy some drugs, to buy some cigarettes, to buy some and if to use it for something haram, then it would be better that you give it to the people who are needy, who are going to use it for obedience to Allah. Okay, the point here is, as I always say, that we should look at the person who is needy and the person who is worthy. There are two people who are needy. Both of them are generally entitled to zakat. One of them is making salat, performing five prayers a day, coming to the masjid in jama'ah, yani trying to live an upright life. And the other one is not praying, or praying sometimes, or not praying in the jama'ah, or whatever, engaging in sin and disobedience. That's known, that's open, that's visible. And we know that. Then if we have a choice between giving one of these two people, then we should give it to the one who is going to use it. Yani because everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us from His ni'am requires shukr, and the shukr is to use it in the way that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we know that a person is going to use it in a way that's displeasing to Allah, then it will be better that you don't give it to them. It will be better that you don't give it to them. Allahu a'lam. Anyway, the Shaykh, he makes a number of points here, and he related to the zakat, and even like now we have mentioned the eight categories in brief. There's some lengthy discussion concerning each of these categories, but because of the time, yani the adhan is going to be called now. It's going to be time for salat. So I wanted to mention a couple of points here, but and no need to rush through it. No need to rush. Bismillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah, ala alihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Inshallah, what we're going to do, inshallah, what we're going to do is we're going to continue this discussion next week, right? And what I'm going to ask of you is the secondary references that we have. I want you to like look at some of them, particularly al-wajiz, the references there because of the hadith that I mentioned for each of these eight categories. And also, I want you to look at the hadith that I mentioned in Bulugh Maram, the hadith that I mentioned in Bulugh Maram under this topic. And I want you to look at, especially more particularly than anything else, I want you to look at the section dealing with this topic in Sheikh Salih Fawzan's book, because that's what we're going to read next week, inshallah. We're going to read that next week, so please go through that. But also for some of the benefits, try to look at some of the other secondary references and see yani, some of the benefits you mentioned there or that I mentioned there. Perhaps you might look at the category of fi sabilillah in the Fiqh al-Ibadat by Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. And you look in there under the this category of fi sabilillah and read his comments at the end of that section on that particular category, where he talks about the student of knowledge being entitled to receive zakat. There's a good argument that he makes there that's really beneficial. We might not be able to read it next week, but you should try to read that as well. As much as you can, try to read as much of it as possible before next week. Yeah, Omar, what are you saying? Anyway, I'm not saying read all of it, but at least read Sheikh Salih Fawzan's notes on this particular topic. We're going to read that in class next week. If anything else you can read, if you want to look at the references to the hadith, then Al-Wajiz brings a reference to hadith for all of the each of the eight categories. That's of benefit. Of course, yani, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, yani whatever he has written concerning these categories is also of benefit, but especially the point of fi sabilillah. Is this a category that could also include the students of knowledge, and how he explains it and how he discusses it, I think it's of great benefit. Any question before we close? We're going to pray in a few minutes. Yeah, alhamdulillah, no problem. I haven't seen him in a while. So. Perhaps we can look at it, inshallah. It's open. It's open, inshallah. Now, we'll look at it. We'll look at it, inshallah. Also, Abu Bakr, remind me, I have a book for you for the brother that took Shahada, the brother that you brought last week. Inshallah, I got a book for him. I'll give it to you before we leave here today. Jazakallah khair. Appreciate it, brother. Thank you very much. Now, I'm Murshid.
If you give up, you mentioned about giving money to somebody who's like highly in debt. What if the person owes you money?
No.
And then, you know, he's trying to pay you back, but you can't pay you back. So it's time for you to give the zakah. You tell the person, oh, you don't have to pay me back, just accept the money and zakah.
Yeah, this is an issue that we have to look at. I'm not going to be able to give you a detailed explanation at the moment, but I'll say that there certainly is the opinion of some scholars that eliminating one's debt in exchange for the zakat that's obligatory upon you is not permissible. Giving zakat, you have to give zakat. Not, the debt that somebody owes you is not equal to the zakat that you have to give. Because the zakat you have to give is real money that you have, or real wealth that you have, that has to be given to somebody. The debt that's owed to you may come back to you, it may not come back to you. That's not real money that you have. It's not real wealth. It's something that you hope to get back. But this is a way of you guaranteeing you're going to get paid back what they owe you by just eliminating the debt that they have in exchange for you giving zakat. Some of the scholars said this is not permissible. It's not permissible to do that. The two are not equal. And inshallah we'll read some fatwa concerning this in the next session if we have time. But general answer is, what I believe to be the correct view from what I've read from some of the scholars of Sunnah is that it's not permissible. It's not permissible.
In that case, you still give him the zakat?
Huh?
Like, you say, hide it away.
You can give it to that person or somebody else, as you like. As long as you don't stipulate that if you give them the zakat, that they have to pay you back with the zakat you gave them. As long as you don't stipulate that, then it's permissible to give them zakat. And this is a discussion that some of the scholars have talked about in some detail, okay? I'm saying now is not the time for it, because we need to sit down and read what they have said so that we see the words that they have used, the way they have explained it, and then it will become more clear. But there's certainly the opinion of some of the scholars of Sunnah that it's not permissible to do this. It is permissible to give that person your zakat. They said, as long as you don't stipulate that when you give them the zakat, that they must, as a condition, give it back to you in paying your debt. That's not permissible.
But what if you and that person agrees upon that debt, the amount that they owe you, it can be counted towards the zakat that you have to
do? But that's what that was his original question. That the amount they owe you, instead of you giving that amount from your zakat that you have to give, you're not going to give it, you just cancel the amount that they owe you. That's not permissible. Wallahu a'lam. In any case, now we're going to talk about it in detail, right? Next week, inshallah, we'll take some time, we'll try to look at that specifically, and we'll look for some of the fatwa that address the issue, exactly what you asked about, and then we'll read, what has been said now.
Sheikh, it's about giving zakat to those who deserve, those who are more in ibadah than others.
No.
So for that reason, can you, we know that the Prophet ﷺ is saying to take the zakat from the agniya him to give to the fuqara him. So to take from the rich to give to the poor.
No.
So that means the zakat should be given the same land.
That's the apparent meaning of that hadith. The apparent meaning of that hadith is zakat should be taken from from agniyaihim, meaning the people of that land. And turuddu ila fuqara'ihim, meaning the people of that land. That's the obvious apparent meaning. That doesn't mean that it's not permissible in any situation or circumstance for it to be given to somebody else. But those people have first right. They have more right. Because if the poor people in the land are given the zakat from the rich people in their land, and the rich people from the other lands, so the poor people in the other lands, what would they do? So the zakat from the rich people in this land should be given to the poor people in this land, and the zakat from the rich people in that land should be given to the poor people in that land. That's the general rule. That's the apparent meaning of the hadith. However, there could be some circumstances in which other considerations could be given.
This is where my question comes. In that sense, if you know somebody who lives in the other country, know that he's very in need and he's mashallah, he's upon the sunnah, he's so for that reason, can you maybe give him the zakat instead of giving in your land?
Well, I would say this, okay? I would say, Abdul Karim, I'm going to come to you. But just quickly, right? I mean, like we could talk about it in some detail, right? And this is not something that we didn't talk about before. I think we've talked about this before. Okay, so my view of this matter is that since the zakat is a minimal amount that a person gives from their wealth, so there's no conflict between giving to the people who are entitled to the zakat in the land where you are, and also given to the people in the country that you came from, who are also in need. Where's the conflict? And if a person has $10,000 of money in their safe or in the bank or in some place that they didn't use for the whole year, they don't need it, all their expenses are paid, and it's just $10,000 extra money, they have to give from it how much? Huh? $250. $10,000. He has to give $250. Can he give $250 to the poor person here and another $250 to poor people there? There's no conflict. I don't see any conflict. I don't see why we can only give to one of them and not give to both of them. If that person is really, yani, a person who's in need and they're upon the sunnah and they're worthy to receive, we should give them too.
I was wondering.
But should we give preference to them over the people in this land where you are, who are also in need and who are also worthy and who are also in obedience to Allah? Maybe they might not be equal to that person, but they're also in need and they're worthy and they're entitled. Should we deprive them and deny them because there's somebody who's, yani, more upon the sunnah than them in another land? Should they be deprived for that reason? Allahu a'lam. I don't think so.
Yeah, my question is because, of course, you're from your country of origin, but you're making your money
here. You save that money here, and there are poor people here. What about the poor people here? They don't have a right to this.
I would say
there's no conflict. I would think that we could give to both of them. That's my view. That's my personal view that I'm not imposing on anybody. That's my personal view. I believe, why wouldn't we give both of them? We have $10,000, Akhi. That means that if we feel, and believe me, this is not directed to anybody, right? But if we feel that $250 is a lot to give from $10,000, and I can only give to one of them, I think we need to rethink that. Well, I think we need to rethink that. I'm saying that technically, can you give to that person? I believe you can give to that person in your land. I believe you can. But my own personal view is, why wouldn't you give to both of them? That's my view, that I'm not imposing on anybody. And Abdul Karim, we're going to close with what you got to say. We're going to close because it's time for salah.
I really want to say,
yes, go ahead.
The reference that you said on the $10,000, $250,000, right?
$250.
Okay, $250, right. Now, are you saying you give the people in the land that you live in $250, and then take some from the other and send it somewhere else? But mainly, do what the $250 to the person that needs it in your life, where you at right now.
My personal view is that they have more right.
Right.
Those people have more right. A haqqubi.
Yeah.
I think that those people have more right to it.
Sure, but what I'm trying
and
to say.
And that doesn't mean that you can't send it to the other people, but I'm saying, why not give both of them? Why not give both of them?
What I'm trying to say, I'm just saying, clear.
Yeah.
Very clear. What I'm trying to say is that can we split that 250
up? No.
No,
I would say, no, don't split it up.
Right, do something.
I would say give the 250 to this person and give 250 to that person.
Right.
Or rather, actually, really, yani, I think that it's easy, really. Right. I think this issue is an easy issue. This is not a difficult one.
Right.
Because the zakat is the minimal amount that has to be given.
Exactly.
And really, the meaning of that is you have to give at least 250.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you're supposed to give only 250.
Right.
It means that you have to give at least 250.
Right.
Rather, at the end of the year, if you still have $10,000 in your safe, you need to take out more than $250.
Exactly.
You really need to be getting more. That's the minimum that's obligatory upon you.
Okay. Okay, the other question was,
Mente has a question too. Can we let him get one question?
That wasn't my question.
Now
I'm just trying to
play
off
of
what
he said. Okay, we're going to have to stop.
Okay, sure. My problem is this. They collect generally the zakat to the masjid. We don't know who they give to.
No.
They're sending whatever it is. And I know already for myself, it's very needy people back home. I don't know, the people they giving here or they sending back to some different needy people, what I should do over there? I don't know who they giving my zakat because generally we give to the masjid.
No.
Box.
What you should do is you should yourself take the responsibility of finding the people who are entitled to receive the zakat.
The
people in the land here.
Okay.
Or if in also in your land too, no problem.
Okay.
But you should not give it to the masjid. Why are you giving it to the masjid?
That's the usually, I think,
look, brother, listen. This is not, we don't have any Islamic State here, right?
No.
So the masjid is just a place where we go to pray.
No.
If you know that the people in the masjid are really, diligent in this affair, and they're really looking for the people who are entitled to receive it and worthy to receive it, and they're taking care to do that, then there's no harm in you appointing them to do that for you. The same way Zakat al-Fitr can be given to an agency, an organization, a committee that you feel is trustworthy, mm-hmm. that people of integrity, that they're going to make sure that it's taken care of the way it's supposed to be, given to the people entitled to it in the time that it's supposed to be due. You can do that. But is it better for you to do it yourself? No. Certainly it's better for you to do it yourself. Why are you taking it to the masjid?
No.
You can look for the people who are in need and give them the amount that's due and make sure that these are the people who are most worthy of it. And then you have fulfilled the matter. And it's an act of worship. If you do it yourself, that's better for you. And you know when you do it yourself that it was done properly.
No,
and it was given to the proper people.
No,
when you take it to the masjid, and I don't mean to say that the masjid, we don't trust the people in this masjid. If you give it to this masjid here, inshallah, I'm going to make sure that it's going to be distributed properly.
No.
But I'm not saying that we distrust the masjid. I'm saying that you take that responsibility yourself.
No.
And make sure that you be diligent in getting it to the people that are entitled to it. This is an act of worship. If you do it yourself, you know that it has been done properly, has been done in time, and that's better for you. If there's an Islamic State, and the state is taking that responsibility, that's a different matter altogether. But as far as every masjid, indeed, there's no doubt that some masjids might not be diligent in making sure that the people who are entitled to receive that get it. They might not be diligent in that. Okay? So then you became responsible when it wasn't fulfilled, you are still obligated because you gave it to somebody who is not entitled, who's not ahlan to receive that responsibility, so it still remains with you. Allahu Akbar.
So now, it's not a sacrifice, right?
No.
When that condition comes, just like the zakat ma'am, you understand? As far as somebody having the sacrifice done in their country or somewhere else, another place, because maybe they feel the people may need it there. Is that come under the same condition? Or is that enough?
It's not the same condition. It's not the same condition, but there's no doubt that some of the meat from the sacrificial animal, some of it is going to be given to poor people. Not all of it. Not necessarily all of it. Some of it is going to be given to poor people. So if it's given to the poor people in the land where you are, then that is the original rule, that it should be given to where you are. You sacrifice the animal, you don't send it in a plane to another country. That's not the original rule. Is it permissible? Sheikh Al-Faymin, rahimahullah, said that in some cases where the people in your land are not really in need of that, and the people in another land are in dire need of it, then it may be worth doing so. But the original rule is that if there are people in your land, then from that meat, you should give some to the poor people in the place where you are. But can it be sent somewhere else? It can be, especially if there's a maslaha. If there's a real maslaha, clear maslaha, and sending it someplace else, then there's no harm in doing so. It's permissible to do so.
I don't mean send it, I mean having it done there.
Oh, I haven't done there. No, I haven't done there. Same thing. You appoint somebody who's trustworthy that you know is going to do it properly, do it correctly, and you do it on time. It can be done somewhere else. Yeah, Abdul Wahab. Because you don't normally ask questions, we're going to give you the last question.
I remember reading a long time ago. I know it was a Cain, and he had his next door neighbor was a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
So he fed his Jewish neighbor first. I don't know if it was a time of another companion said, "You feed the Jew." And he told the companion of Tabian that the Messenger of Allah said, "Feed your closest neighbor."
Mm.
So, but people in other countries, but we in America, this would be our closest neighbor, right? So shouldn't they be first, even though you should give it to other people?
Well, Annie, what we're basically saying is that the general rule is that when you sacrifice an animal, that you're going to give some of it to poor people, right? The people that you come in contact with, the people where you are. That's the general rule. But we're saying, I think the question is it permissible? Is it permissible to send it or to have it done somewhere else? Inshallah, it's permissible, especially if there's a reason for doing so. If there's some benefit, a clear yani Sharia benefit and sending and having it done somewhere else, then it's possible. It's possible. But the original rule is you should do it for the people close to you. Yeah, I'm very sorry. You know that at this hour I'm extremely tired. Please. And it's time for the iqamah. It's time for the iqamah. No, it's time for the iqamah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.